God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever had a nightmare? Have you ever gone through just what you would call a nightmarish circumstance? This story supposedly took place in Ireland. John Bradford, a Dublin University student, was hitchhiking on a country road one night, and it began to rain. And very quickly, the rain became a storm until he could hardly see a few feet ahead of him, and then he saw the lights of a car slowly moving toward him, and when it stopped, John opened the door and the rear door and got in, only to realize that there was nobody behind the wheel, and the engine wasn't running. In spite of this, the car started moving slowly forward. Petrified, John looked through the windshield at the road ahead, and he saw a curve approaching. And frightened, he began to pray, and just before the car hit the curve, a hand appeared through the open driver's side window and began turning the wheel. John was paralyzed with terror, and he watched as the hand repeatedly came through the window but never touched or harmed him. And as he sat frozen in the rear seat, John saw the lights of a pub down the road, and gathering his courage, he jumped out of the car and ran to it. He rushed inside, wet and out of breath, and started telling everybody about the horrible experience he just had. And silence fell over the pub when everybody realized that this man wasn't drunk, that he was shaking, he was crying with fear. And suddenly the door opened, and two other people walked in from the stormy night. And they, like John, were also soaked, out of breath. And looking around, they saw Bradford sobbing at the bar. And one said to the other, "Look, Patty, there's that idiot who got in the car while we were pushing it." True story? Probably not. But you know, I could see something like that happening. And if it did, I can understand why someone would be scared out of their wits. But I do know a true story, a story that is much more hair-raising than that. In fact, it's a nightmare come true, possibly the worst nightmare anyone could have. You read it this week in the book of Job, chapter 1, if you're following our Bible readings. See, Job was a good man. In fact, he wasn't just a good man, he was an outstanding man. He was faithful to God, he's described as exceptionally pious. And in the first chapter of the book of Job, God describes him with these words, "There is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and turns away from evil." And Job was also a wealthy man. And we read that God had given him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Job enjoyed a good life, and everything he put his hand to prospered. In fact, he's described as the greatest of all the people of the East. And everyone assumed that God poured blessing after blessing upon Job because of his faithfulness. And that's when Job's nightmare began. Raiders from the south stole his herds, 1,000 cattle and 500 donkeys, and then killed all the servants that were watching him. Lightning struck a flock of 7,000 sheep, killing them and the shepherds tending them. Raiders from the north took all of his camels, 3,000 in all, and killed all of those servants as well. But worst of all, a storm struck the house where his children were celebrating, having a party, killing them all. All 10 of them. And then Job's health was taken as he broke out in terribly painful running sores. This once wonderful life had become a heap of ashes, quite literally. Now, as you can imagine, Job was beyond consolation as he tried to deal with all of this. He'd lost everything. But to add to his ministry, we read in chapter 2 that his wife, in her grief and despair, told him to put an end to things. "Do you still hold fast your integrity?" she said. "Curse God and die." But Job said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God but never receive bad? In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. Job had not lost his faith, declaring that God remains God. God had given freely and generously to Job, and if it were the Lord's will to take it away, he must know what he's doing. Hard place to be. I don't know how I would have reacted in that kind of a situation. I don't know about you. So that's when his best friends came to console him. Throughout the rest of the book, they sat with him silently for a week, but then throughout the rest of the book, they try to convince Job that these things that he's experienced just don't happen to good people. He must have done something to deserve it. In their attempts to make some sense of Job's situation for themselves, I believe, they offered no comfort at all. In fact, they made Job's situation only worse. But in spite of everything that happened, in spite of his very unhelpful friends, Job's trust remains. And it's in this context that we read the words from our Old Testament lesson this morning. Job says, "Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Goel lives." Goel. That's the Hebrew word that we're introduced to here. Actually, we're introduced to this word in the book of Leviticus. And we see what it looks like in the book of Ruth. Goel is best translated as kinsman redeemer. And it's important for us to know what that word means. In Leviticus, God made provision for families who got into difficulty. The closest related adult male was given the legal right to protect and care for the aggrieved relative. That person was the Goel, the kinsman redeemer. If a member of the family had been taken captive or sold into slavery because of bad debts, the kinsman redeemer was to pay the ransom or the debt and secure the release of the relative. The kinsman redeemer could also legally avenge any violence against their relative and protect them against false court claims. If a relative was in danger of losing their land for one reason or another, the kinsman redeemer could buy back the property so it remained in the family's name. If a husband died, leaving a family without resources, the kinsman redeemer was to take his widow into his own family and raise any children as if they were his brother's children. In a sense, the kinsman redeemer was God's way of providing a security net for the poor. If you had a kinsman redeemer who was willing to step in on your behalf, you knew that your future was secure. That's what we saw in the story of Naomi and Ruth. Because of a famine in Israel, Naomi's husband and two sons had moved to Moab. Now, it's likely that Naomi's husband had mortgaged his property when they moved. But then the husband and the sons died, leaving Naomi and her new daughter-in-law without a provider. Having nothing else to do, they returned to Israel. But they had no right to the family land, so they had to glean with the poor for food. But we meet Boaz. Boaz was willing to act as their kinsman redeemer. He paid off the debt to the land. He took Naomi and Ruth into his own house. He even married Ruth and had a son who would then take care of Naomi and Ruth in their old age. And this son, actually, is in the line with Jesus. See, that's what God knew that he had. That's what Job knew that he had in God. Job had been struck down with loss and suffering and grief, and in spite of what his friends said, while he knew he wasn't perfect, he knew that he had done nothing to deserve that kind of punishment. He trusted that God would be his Goel, his kinsman redeemer. Just as the Lord had done for the people of Israel when they were in slavery in Egypt and brought them to the promised land, Job believed and trusted that God would ultimately rescue him. Though the future appeared hopeless, though poverty-stricken and childless, Job remained confident that the Lord was his true kinsman redeemer. That story of Job is your story. Now, you may or may not ever face the kind of suffering that Job faced. Pray that you don't. But you and I were just as helpless. Paul writes in Ephesians that when you were dead in your trespasses and sins, God sent his son Jesus to bring redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Jesus stepped in when it seemed that there was no one who would come to your aid. And as your kinsman redeemer, Jesus rescued you from sin, death, and devil. It's through the cross that Jesus rescued you and gave you eternal life. What a gift. What a wonderful thing to hold on to. Because of Jesus, you will be with God in heaven, secured. But that promise of redemption is not just for someday in the future. Because as your kinsman redeemer, God gives you hope for right now. That's what Job knew. He knew that God, as his redeemer, was alive, and that with him, it was with him in the midst of all of his pain and suffering. Now, like I said, you may or may not experience suffering to the extent that Job did, but you will experience suffering. Pain, fear. In one way or another, life will happen to you. That's just the way it is. But we see Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, in the book of Job, and that makes the difference between hope and despair, not if, but when suffering comes. You know, suffering often brings disappointment, not only disappointment with life, but disappointment with God for allowing it to happen. Because you feel so weak and helpless, swept along by the circumstances of the moment. You go to the doctor and she tells you that the test results are just what you feared they'd be. Or you're injured in an accident, or you contract an illness, and the pain becomes chronic. It just doesn't go away. Or you're called into the office and you're told your job is being eliminated. Experiencing those kind of things can make you begin to question God's presence, question his love. You might even come to believe that things will never get better. But even when these things happen, our faith assures us that Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, is never far away and is ready to help, support, and encourage us. I can tell you there have been times in my own life when I've experienced difficult and painful circumstances. And as a pastor, I've walked with many people who have suffered in ways that most people can only imagine. I've also learned that in those times, all you can do is what Job's friends initially did. Just be quietly present, because it's not a time for words. When tragedy strikes, there are often no good or comforting answers. But that doesn't mean we have nothing to say. You see, when the time comes to speak, we can say Jesus. We can point to Jesus, who knows what pain is all about. He understands when we cry out in anger or frustration, just as he did when his father was so far from him as he bore our sins. And when we feel lost and helpless and hopeless, Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, who knew what it felt like to be all alone, reminds us that he loves and protects us, reminds us that we are not alone. In the midst of our suffering, faith in God's steadfast love and mercy gives us the assurance that even in our deepest needs, God is never far away. Faith tells us that God does care, even and especially when we're hurting. Faith reminds us that we're always in the loving arms of a heavenly Father who will help us face those trials, knowing that they cannot overcome us. Faith assures us that even if we should die, Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, has rescued us, and he'll take us home to be with him forever. Jesus is your kinsman redeemer, your goel. He willingly took on that responsibility because he knew that he was your only hope in the face of sin and death. And he promises, he promises to remain your kinsman redeemer as you make your way through this difficult world until you're safely with him, where pain, suffering, tears, and death will finally be no more. Amen.